This is Experts on Call, and Bobby Asadourian is here. We're just sitting off air talking about fencing because we're both at our own personal homes up against some fencing issues right now. I've got, as you know, three-year-old twins who have a tendency to run across everybody's property, and you know, everybody's like laughing at us out our back door as we're chasing them over four or five. Because, you know, fences are necessary when you have children that age. They don't see borders otherwise.
That's true. I've got a four-year-old, and all we do is chase them one end to the other. And just trying to wave at the people as we see them through their patio doors.
So we're just, you know, you got to make that agreement with your neighbors whether or not you're going to put up fences. And there's,
true.
Wow, you know, there's the Fence Line Act. You can forget about it. You can talk about that forever, too. Because there are the Line Fencing Act is there are some rules and regulations there. If you don't want to put up a fence, then you're no longer liable to have to pay for the other half if your neighbor decides to go.
Well, what I was told once, and again, it may have changed since now, that vinyl fencing is very expensive. Mm-hmm. You can go cedar, you can go pressure treated. Apparently, the rule of thumb to consider is if you choose something that's, let's say you want the fence made out of stone.
Right.
Your neighbor's only obligated to pay, I believe, half of what a chain link fence would cost.
Ah, okay.
Again, that may have changed, but technically a chain link fence, and only at 5 feet high.
Right.
I mean, those are the most affordable or the least expensive.
Yes.
So they would only have to pay for half. Again, they may not want an elaborate stone one.
Right.
But even in our survey now, there's a lot of decisions to make. You know, you're standing in your yard and you've got, you know, three adjoining fences. You'd like when you're in your yard to look at everything consistently, either everything vinyl or everything wood. Now, what if the person on the left wants a bright vinyl one? And then you've got the one in front of you, the one to the right of you, and wood. You know, nothing will match. So there's a lot of work in working it out. It's not an easy process.
Got a friend here, actually, here at the radio station, who's going through that very thing where their neighbor wants something a little bit, you know, fancier and more expensive. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, I'm not sure if I can afford that, but I can afford this. And so there's that, you know, a bit of bartering that you have to do. And
well, one suggestion I would make to builders, if any are listening at this moment, is include it. Just put it in. I mean, our particular builder, amazing job. One of the very few builders that includes an asphalt driveway. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nothing fancy, but it's there. It's better than parking on gravel.
Mm-hmm.
And they also include or mud. And they also include grass on all four sides. Now, I mean, even if they added a few dollars to the price of the home, I mean, can you imagine the deal they would get? You know, survey after survey. So the cost would be, you know, very affordable for them.
Mm-hmm.
Just include a basic fence, you know, board on board, pressure treated, 6 foot high. Just include the cost, have it done.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're pitting neighbor against neighbor.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even on my own street, a few blocks up, people aren't speaking anymore. So, I mean, it's not easy.
Yeah,
a lot of the fighting seems to be between vinyl.
Because one of the things you want is good neighbors, right?
Exactly.
You want to be able to get out your front door, pick your paper off the front porch, and say hello to your neighbor next door. You don't want to have that kind of attitude.
Well, I know neighbors that they simply can't afford it, and they don't have kids. So, I mean, here you are now, and, you know, again, you're bringing the difficulty upon yourself, knocking a neighbor's home, saying, look, we want it, I want it now, this is how much your half is. What if he doesn't have it?
Yeah.
What if he says, I'll just give it to you later, or call on me when I, you know, it's a difficult process.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Myself being a contractor, I decided, and a smart decision in the beginning was to keep it at arm's length with the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've put up fences through my business, but I mean, this has to be separate. I'm a homeowner. I need to be neighbors with these people. So even though I'm a contractor, I would not get involved in the fencing projects in my own backyard there because it just wouldn't make sense. All of a sudden now—
You're coming over to do mine though, aren't you?
Well, hopefully, if I can find the time.
Wink, wink, but nudge.
It's so nice just to be neighbors, have a beer with them, be friends with them. I don't want to cross the line of becoming a contractor to them.
Sure.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I mean, there are other issues too. If your survey is one of those that's been excavated and then, you know, they've dropped down soil and topsoil, maybe you should wait a year or two before you start putting in fence because that land's going to move a little bit.
Well, it doesn't hurt. At least a year. I mean, it's not as important as if it's the driveway. A driveway, you know, 2 years or so, give it some time. For the fence, at least a year. But the most important thing is to go down 4 feet.
Right.
Now, I'd even suggest be there to make sure they go down 4 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen when they've gone down 2 to 3 feet. I've even seen them use those hammer-in metal spikes.
Ah.
Disgusting. Everything leans. Everything comes apart. If it's not down 4 feet, it won't last.
Now, would you say that same rule of thumb for decks as well?
Should you definitely.
Go down 4 feet for decks?
Definitely. And a permit.
Yeah.
On a fence, you don't need a permit. No permits required. However, you must call before you dig.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other problem, too, in my own neighborhood there, and it's amazing just hearing the neighbors talk. Everybody's putting up flyers, all these different postal companies.
Right.
And they always put the onus on the homeowner to do the call before you dig. So these are contractors. They're telling the homeowner X amount of dollars per post. We'll come, we'll sink it.
Right.
But you're responsible to call that 1-800. It's known as the call before you dig.
Are they at least guaranteeing that the posts will stay straight?
Well, I mean, they're guaranteeing it'll stay straight. Still stay, be there and make sure you know that it's down 4 feet. But the critical part is now these contractors are putting the onus on the homeowner to do the call before you dig. And that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
See, the homeowner, I've done this before. You've got to call the 1-800 number. If you've got email, they'll send you confirmations. Everybody comes down. I don't know if you've driven around these surveys. You see the yellow paint, spray paint on the grass, the red, the different colors. Everybody, the utility, the hydro, Bell, the high speed for internet, cable. Everybody comes down and does some spraying. Now, you've got to keep away from that. In the email you receive, it'll tell you how many feet away.
Right.
Now, what homeowner is going to go through this process? There's only one reason why these post-hole contracting companies want to put that onus on the homeowner. It's because if they hit a Bell line, if they knock out your internet, your television, hit a gas line, well, of course, they're not responsible because right in the sign-off area of their work order, they've told a homeowner, $20, $25 per post installed, done. You are supplying or you are calling the utilities to have them come spray marker.
Right.
So no, because you're the homeowner. You don't need to be carrying the $2 million liability insurance.
Oh, exactly.
And it's funny telling my neighbors over there, I mean, they have no idea, and they're like, oh, but the contractor said just have us call, and we're giving you this really good price on the post holes. They're doing it. They're the professionals. Let them be responsible.
That's right.
If they hit something or damage something, you're covered.
Yes, hopefully they'll be liable rather than you.
Exactly.
They're the
exactly.
Ones
but again, it's about
call.
Shifting it. It's about they're being crafty.
Mm-hmm.
They want to shift that onto the homeowner.
Well, we have a client here by the name of Pioneer Waterproofing, and that's one of the things that they talked about last week when mm-hmm. they were here. Is you've got to the contractor has to be responsible for all that stuff because you would end up knowing people probably on a first name basis because you make those calls on a regular basis
exactly.
yourself when you have
exactly.
to do that.
It's a bit of a headache. The emails come in. Sometimes I've got to call in and get more clarification.
Mm-hmm.
I know one homeowner, very, very nice lady in the Burlington area. Again, the post hole digger just told her, he was busy. Giving you a really great price. I'll come down. I'll make the holes. You call the utilities. Now, something wasn't marked or something, or she, mowed over it with her lawn. Something ended up happening, but he cut through her TV cable. Now, again, he wasn't responsible. He did say sorry. She had to pay just under $200 to have him come down and repair the utility. Now, but, I mean, again, he was clear. He told her, I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, she didn't have to accept that.
That's
she
right.
could have simply told him, no, you're the professional. I work at a bank. I don't get involved in this.
Right.
You're the guy digging. Be mm-hmm. responsible for where you're putting the hole.
That's right. I work at a bank. I'll give you change or I'll figure out your mortgage.
No, exactly.
But I don't.
But again,
don't
this is crafty about the trades because it is a lot of time to come down there to read it, to deal with the emails. They could be out digging holes. They get paid for digging holes, not calling 1-800 numbers.
And this is a huge time of year for putting up fences, so this is good information to know.
Well, yes, definitely.
Bobby Asadorian here, Just Ask Bob, experts on call. And speaking of which, you've got, looks like you got a ton of questions.
Well, yes, I brought them here with me. I don't have much time to answer them at home, so I thought we'll answer some on air today.
Sure, let's try some.
Okay, we've got one submitted by Doreen. Is my cottage eligible for new windows under the home renovation tax credit, or is it just for principal residents? Submitted by Doreen. Now, I've looked in the government's website. The new windows for her cottage are to be considered an eligible expense.
Oh, good.
Now, again, though, I have to mention the however, because, again, this can be a big expense for her.
Mm-hmm.
Before undertaking such a large project, it's very prudent. Just take a moment. Telephone the government. Directly discuss it with them in a little greater detail, because I find their website a little gray in some areas.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's just wise to be prudent.
That's surprising to me, a government website with gray areas. Gee.
Well, I wanted to put that eloquently, if possible, about our dear government. But I mean, again, if it's something that I'm absolutely positive on, I'll tell our listeners that. In this case, it wouldn't hurt. And again, it's at www.cra.arc.gc.ca. Just take a moment, and with respect to one item, discuss to them how many years of the month you're living in your main home, that you rent or own,
right,
versus how many months of the year you use your cottage. Because if there's ever a gray area or a loophole, it may have to do with the issue of being seasonal. So how many months you use the cottage versus how many months you live in the home. But at least from generally looking at the website, it looks like it's covered. So, Doreen, I hope I helped.
Right. And like you say, though, just to make sure.
Oh, no, exactly.
Make the phone call.
Exactly. It's very important. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't take much time. It depends if they put you on hold or not. But
right. So give me an idea. Is there a ballpark figure that you can, or is it because it's so different for every application? What are you talking about when you're changing all the windows in a cottage? We're talking about probably a two-bedroom
You know, for a cottage, it's small, but I would think
600, 800 square feet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, with the term and the expense would be, there's two ways to change windows. One is to leave the frame in. Usually, typically, that's called a vinyl replacement window. Secondly, it's full frame to rip the frame out. Now, big, big savings in money in leaving the frame in. However, I don't recommend it, especially in older Hamilton homes. Get the frame out. Get everything out.
Probably rot back there?
There could be rot back there. Not only that, I mean, you're looking at it. It's the matter of the inches of the spray foam. By getting the frame out, getting everything in you again, you can spray foam. Now, that does add expense.
There may not be anything back there, though, insofar as insulation goes,
oh, exactly.
All depending on how old the house is. Right?
Exactly. But I would find 6 to 7 out of every homeowner's changing windows, even on the oldest homes that should have the full frame. Mm-hmm. They're going vinyl replacement because for the contractors that do it, it is so fast. John, it's amazing. And they smash the glass, sometimes literally smash the glass out. It's easier to pick it all up than to play with the little quarter rounds.
Sure.
Peel away any wood stops, and that's it. Your frame, they slide the new window in. They've ordered it about a quarter inch smaller. Spray foam around the perimeter, a little bit of quarter round wood trim, and they're done. It could take 3 times longer to do it full frame. But truly, that is the best way. But, I mean, for the cottage, I mean, it may not be that expensive. It could, you know, could be less than $2,000, maybe a little more. You know, it just depends how many windows. But
might depend on the age of the cottage, too, whether or not you want to knock out the whole frame or just kind
of exactly.
Just pack.
Then there's options. One option I would highly recommend, and they may not even qualify for, you know, there's two folds. There's the other program with the energy rebate. So I really recommend they get an Energy Star window.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, you'll have to check with them, but I believe they're clamping down on it. Not any old window will qualify anymore. Spend the extra money on an average window. It's not even $80 more. Get the argon gas. It makes all the difference in the world.
Do they really have that better in R value?
Yes, yes, definitely. And those are the ones that are rated true energy stars. And if you don't, if you skimp in that event, it may have a problem when you're getting the energy audit done. Because I know they're very adamant about that. You're doing this work. You might as well. I mean, look at all the work, especially if you're pulling the frame out.
Yes.
Put in the best window you can get.
Yeah. If you're not pulling the frame out to put in an argon gas window, though, are you... You know, you don't even know what's behind
see,
that.
It's a hot debate. Some people are saying in the older Hamilton double-bricked homes, which have no insulation at all,
right.
They're saying, oh, why even use argon gas? Because, you know, your walls are empty. They're double-bricked. There's no R value. There's no insulation. You don't have the R12. But I still believe the old-fashioned way. Even that size, that opening, if you're going to do the work, make that opening, whether it's 3 feet by 8 feet, make it as energy efficient as possible.
Haven't we also found, though, that with those double-bricked homes with nothing in between there, that the air quality in a home like that is
much better? Much better. Oh, yes, yes, much better. Much better. Everything from less mold.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they breathe much better.
Yeah. You
know, there's been some debate with making homes, you know, they were calling them Energy 2000 at one point.
Yes.
You know, sealing them up too much, and then you have to get in all this fancy HVAC work of bringing fresh air in. No, I mean, the theory was there. It's just they really were drafty homes. I mean, I lived in one myself for nearly 10 years.
That's what my home was in downtown Hamilton,
mm-hmm.
west to
mm-hmm.
downtown Hamilton, 120 years old, double bricked, but the air was great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was
definitely.
You didn't need to, like you say, didn't need to worry about all that air to air stuff.
And strong, very, very strong.
Yeah. Absolutely. Good idea. It is 12:44. This is Experts on Call. If you have a question, I know Bob's got a list of them in front of him here. Bobby Asadorian with Just Ask Bob. We'll return with Experts on Call after this from Hamilton's all-new talk station, Talk 820. We are back. It's coming up to 12:49, Experts on Call. Tons of questions on Just Ask Bob today for Bobby Asadorian. And let's, because we haven't mentioned it yet, Triple R Inc., And let's do the website as well, because the website is you could go, you know, Triple R, search Triple R and find about 4 or 5 different ones. It is specifically
RRINC contracting.ca.
Right, RRINC contracting.ca. And some of the questions from that website, some of the questions from the articles that you also write for Silver and Gold as well. And it was nice having a representative from Silver and Gold in a couple of
weeks.
She's
fantastic,
yeah.
Isn't she?
And,
very, very nice lady.
And happy with you as well.
Yes, yes.
So what else you got? What's
well,
the next
we've got
question?
A question by Christine. This one I really like. This is one of my favorites. Christine writes, "Dear Bobby, can you please tell me what a contractor service order or contract work order should contain?" So this is important. You know, I assume she's had to – see, there's so many names and there's so many ways of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Some contractors, and quite a few of them, they will verbally work out the deal. There's nothing for you to sign. They're done. They hand you an invoice. I call that the invoice system. I call that the outdated system.
Okay.
I mean, it's just their mentality, just the way they do it. They're going into it with an open heart. And again, usually that's for very small jobs. And then they just mail you an invoice or show you an invoice. Now, it's take too much time to go over the hundreds of things that can go wrong that way. But I mean, if you order my book, A Contract You Can Bring Home to Mom, we spend an entire section, an entire chapter talking about that invoice system.
Mm-hmm.
But let's look at the proper way, which is a contract system. Now, some call it an estimate, a contract, a service order. I simply call it a contract once you've signed it. And until you sign it, it's your estimate. Very easy. Now, what it should contain, very, very important, the company name, obviously, and the mailing address. Got to have a mailing address on there to make it legal.
Mm-hmm.
There should be two dates on there, a date of the estimate and a date of acceptance. Because, again, these are two important dates. The date of the estimate is just the date I come present it to you. So, John, I come to your home. I quote you for some tiles of your kitchen. That's the day I write it out. I put the estimate date. Within the month that it's still valid or even later on, you call me and you accept it. At the bottom, I have a blank that says date of acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Your warranty. A lot of key items start from the date of acceptance. Your 30-day that I'll honor the estimate starts from the date of the estimate. Now, again, some important items, all the customer's information, address, phone number, and whatnot. Cooling period. In Ontario, all the homeowners have a 10-day cooling period. So you have 10 days after you've signed off and given me your deposit to get a hold of me. I mean, if it's me, you can just call me. But generally, technically, you are supposed to use a method that can allow you to prove that you gave notice, including registered mail, fax, or by personal delivery. Now, and you need no reason. You've invoked your cooling period, refund, job's canceled, no questions asked.
Okay, so that and that's from the time of the estimate.
No, that's from the time of acceptance.
Okay, so
because again, at the estimate, you're not obligated.
Right.
Yeah, I've just handed it to you. Here's your estimate, John.
Right.
When you call me, when we sign off on it, and I leave your home with a deposit, that is the date of acceptance.
Then you have another 10 days.
Oh, no. Yeah. From there, you have 10 days because you've now signed, you've accepted the job. Some other important things is if the contractor has a GST number, I mean, most do. If they're charging you GST, they most certainly should have the GST number printed at the bottom.
Yes.
That's very, very important. If you don't see the GST number on the bottom, run. Because a lot of I would tell you,
ask questions least.
Because again, I know of an awful lot of contractors. They charge GST, but they don't have a remittance policy. The government's not aware of them.
Right.
So I mean, they're obviously not remitting it quarterly. They keep it, and that's their bonus job. That's mm-hmm. their money to go to Cuba with. So I mean, again, just because they're collecting it, they should have the GST. Then it's nice to have the number there because you can verify it.
That's better than coffee money.
Exactly. And I mean, it's the law. The law says you have everything here is legalities. You have to have it printed.
Mm-hmm.
Again, subtotal. And as of today's date, this time frame, there's only GST charged on home improvement projects. You know, repairing, rebuilding, renovating. So at this time, it's just GST. Another line for total, a line for deposit, less deposit, and then a line for the balance. Now, again, it's really important. A few other items, you know, some details, mine at least. You know, they state that the quote will be held honorable for a period of 30 days. That's, again, while it's still just an estimate. I've had people contact me even 6 months later, even a year and a half later. Bob, we'll take that job. Can you start tomorrow? Now, again, depending what the job was, if materials, things haven't changed, sure, I'll still honor it. That's not a big deal.
Won't necessarily start tomorrow.
Oh, no. That's true. They made me wait a year and a half. They'll wait, too, depending what time of year it is. But, again, now, the other part is judge your contractor really on the rest now and how many details are there. Because if that ends it, that's not a good contract.
Hmm.
There has to be so much there. Mine even includes, and again, if anybody wants to see my contract, RRINCcontracting.ca, you can go to our fax page. We have it there with all the clauses and all the legal loopholes in it, openly and boldly for homeowners to look at. You know, we offer a minimum 30% non-refundable deposit. So you do understand then that once you've signed, once you've committed, you've paid the deposit, notwithstanding the cooling period.
Right.
Again, you have to know some contractors don't state that. So fine, even if the cooling period's over, they'll give you back your deposit, maybe less if they bought something. Now, our deposit's a minimum 30%. However, if I'm buying a bay window for you, now this is a $4,000 bay window, custom manufactured to fit your unique home.
Right.
What am I going to do with this bay window if you change your mind? Husband and wife split up, divorce dust, things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I can't use that bay window again, so naturally, at least the cost of the window is non-refundable. you know, depending now on what other part of the deposit included some labor.
Right.
So it's so important. I mean, it's a world of details, but don't ever fear of asking the contractor to put in some of your own details.
Do you have a lot of specially made bay windows in your garage right now?
Oh, no, no, no. They believe me, after what they've paid for them, we've installed them. What's important, too, is be comfortable. If there's a question, if there's a clause, you know, maybe religious, maybe pets, maybe animals, something to do with your home, look it over and don't be afraid to say to your contractor, well, can you add this and this clause into the contract as well?
Right.
He'll consider it, and if he writes it in, it's now part of a legal binding agreement. So it's so important because this protects, at least it's supposed to evenly, mm-hmm. protect the homeowner and protect yourself. Also, one last item, which is important, I have it in bold. It must be important to me. It states no verbal agreements accepted. Now, again, I don't want to come by, look at being harsh, looked upon harshly for this, but it's very important because everything should be typed out, written out, spelled out. You only get in the confusion again with the previous system of the missing system, mm-hmm. where in that case there is no paperwork at all. So it's so important. Work it out. Get it right in the beginning.
And there will be situations where you've got everything written down or you think you have, and then just as you're about to leave and you've already signed off on it, the homeowner, the client may say, oh, I also want to do this. And you say,
change orders.
Yeah.
Yes,
then
yes.
Then you have to actually write that down.
Well, yes, yes. A dreaded word for contractors is change orders. Think about the scheduling. Think about the planning. Now, it's their home. I mean, the homeowner has all the right in the world. Change everything. Let's push that wall out eight feet. Let's add a skylight. Let's add a second story while we're on the job. But however, that's
Let's
a change.
Let's see what happens when we remove the retaining wall.
Well, no. Exactly. Now, that's the dreaded change order. Contractors don't like change orders because it can really delay us. However, it's the homeowner's home. They have all the right to ask for a change order. It'll be put in writing, mm-hmm. of course, at an additional cost. You know, they don't have to accept it. We'll present it to them just the same way we deal with. There's two types of change orders, the requested and the not requested. The requested one is when they want the extras,
right.
which is the nice ones. Then there's the change order where I tell them, hey, we've just opened up the wall. Look what we've, you know, we've talked about that before.
Yes.
Look what we found. Mm-hmm. But again, it doesn't just get tacked on. That's when I call them and sit them down with a change order and say, this is what I found. You don't even have to have me do it. I mean, you're going to bring in somebody else. Got to be fast. They can't hold me up. Or we can work around it. But here it is. It's in writing.
You could make a game show out of the stuff you can find in a 120-year-old
yes.
wall.
Yes, most definitely.
What do you think we're going to find today? In any case, here we are already at 12:57, and we've only managed to get through two questions. And that question, again, was for? The answer was for?
Oh, yes, yes. The answer was for Christine.
So, Christine, there you go. That's basically the things you should look for, and it's...
And a good contract.
Yeah. A contract is what you should definitely have, rather than...
An invoice.
An invoice or a verbal agreement.
Exactly.
When are you coming back?
We'll be back in 2 weeks, two Fridays from now.
Okay.
I look forward to it. We'll answer some more questions.
Excellent.
And we'll talk about the fencing.
Ah, okay. You think you'll be a little further along with yours?
Well, hopefully. I'm too busy to get involved in it. Like I said, I'm a contractor, so I won't be sticking my nose in it over there, but everything will work out.
All right. I have a feeling that you might be giving out some advice, though.
Always.
It's in your nature. It's 12:58. Bobby Asadorian and Just Ask Bob will be back in a couple of weeks from today on Hamilton's all-new talk station, Talk 820.